Well, this morning I'd like to speak on the subject of God's chosen fast. It's been interesting to me in my travels. I have run into people who have no knowledge of what fasting is. They never fast. They never have. And other people, they're quite acquainted with it, and some do it regularly and for many different reasons. And as we look across the scriptures, we see there are many, many reasons why people fast. I know with the case of Hannah and Elkanah, she was one of two wives for Elkanah, and she was childless, and she was chided upon or kind of humiliated by the other woman, which incidentally is how it goes a lot of times when you have more than one woman in a house. It's certainly not wise, but in the Old Testament, we understand they did tolerate polygamy, and you had these situations. We have it also with Hagar and Sarah. But Hannah was humiliated for her barrenness of her womb. And because of that, she didn't eat. She was discouraged, maybe or heavy at heart, and she didn't eat. Ahab was another one, a wicked man, a wicked king in Israel. And when he didn't get what he wanted in Naboth's vineyard, he was trying to get Naboth's vineyard, Naboth wouldn't sell it to him. He went home and he was so upset that he wouldn't eat. He fasted because of it. And so we notice that there are many good and also bad reasons why people fast. So just because that people are fasting does not mean that it's a good thing. They can be fasting for very, very selfish reasons. Let me just give you a couple of incidents in the Word of God in the beginning here. In Job, or in Joel 1:14, the Bible says, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord." Now, often this was done. It's a very good thing to call a solemn assembly, and when there was difficulty or apostasy or drift away from God in Israel, they would call a solemn assembly and sanctify a fast and see, gather together to the house of God and see what God would say. Some of you remember the fast at Nineveh, where they fasted because Jonah was going through the land and saying, "Yet 40 days and I'm going to destroy Nineveh." God was saying that, and the king there proclaimed the fast even upon the animals. He wouldn't give them food or drink. And they fasted with the people. Joel also says in chapter 2, verse 12, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." Matthew 6:17 says, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." The Jews had days of fasting where they would disfigure their faces and put on black clothing, it seemed like, and would sit in sackcloth and ashes or appear on the men to fast. And they wanted the honor from the people who would walk by that they were fasting. Oh, look at the sacrifice. Look at the self-denial that he's making here. He's fasting, you know, and they would they would disfigure their faces and dress in such a way that they would appear on the men to fast so that they would get the honor from the religious crowd there for fasting. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 6, the Bible says, "And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, 'We have sinned against the Lord.' And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah." Elijah fasted in 1 Kings 19:8, "And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights on the Horeb, the Mount of God." Moses likewise had no eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights when he was in the mount getting the Ten Commandments from the Lord as he waited there before God to receive that instruction. Ezra, in Ezra chapter 10, verse 6, "Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib, and when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away." Daniel fasted, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." And Christ also, being full of the Holy Ghost in Luke 4:1, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And we have the church leaders fasting in some of the epistles of Paul likewise. Now there are, like I say, both good and wrong or bad reasons for people to fast. Men, as you notice with Ahab, can fast for very selfish reasons. And other people, and in general I think this is the case, more than not, people fasted in order to know the will of God or to draw nigh unto God or to repent of their sins. And there is such a thing that happens in fasting sometimes where the heart sobers up and where a person is able to look inward and to examine their life before the Lord with fasting and prayer. And so we notice that also. There are many different kinds of fasts. I mentioned here that there were those that didn't eat or drink, it seems like they were sustained some supernaturally for 40 days. That is not a normal fast. A lot of times, fasting is water, water only, or sometimes it is a juice fast where people just will fast with juices, and still other times they ate no pleasant bread, or they didn't eat any dainty foods, but maybe lived on a bowl of soup a day. We have experimented with various things like that, and it's a challenge, it's a blessing, and so when you can fast numerous ways, sometimes we know, especially mothers who are having little children, you know, cannot fast like us men can, you know, because of nursing children. So it's a flexible thing in the Word of God. If you take the whole subject from cover to cover, you will notice that there is a lot of flexibility with this matter of fasting. But now let us turn to the Bible in Isaiah also, chapter 58, and look at God's chosen fast. God's chosen fast. Reading from verse 1. "Cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily." Listen to that. These people, Israel, in the days of the prophet Isaiah, they sought God daily. And it says, delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness. Well, let me read it first, then I'll come back to make some comments. And forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching the God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. No results. Therefore have we afflicted our soul. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now listen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou, being the poor, that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away in the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they shall be, that shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of past to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, and for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God's chosen fast, and by now you understand that fasting has a lot more flexibility than what I've already mentioned. When we look at God's chosen fast in the book of Isaiah here, he breaks upon us a concept of fasting that is beyond what we normally think of abstinence from food or food and drink. It's almost humorous when I think of some of the fasts that I have been acquainted with in my past. I remember in my upbringing in the traditional church in which I was brought up, we had fast day twice in a year. We had it on Good Friday and again in October. Before communion, we had what was called Fastag or fast day. And on that day, we would skip breakfast and eat dinner a little early, maybe around 11 o'clock, so that we wouldn't get very hungry, you know, because we had skipped our breakfast, and that was the extent of the fasting that we knew for the entire year. I have to think of Islam with Ramadan, that fasts throughout the daylight hours and then feasts at night when it gets dark a sumptuous feast in the evening and throughout the night, and yet proclaim that they have been fasting all day, or fasting and for their religious reasons that they celebrate that for a month. I think it is every year that they live like that. But when I go into this chapter, there are something here that is very, very precious to me, especially in light of some of the recent experiences that we have had as a congregation, that just speaks to my heart in an amazing way. But here, first of all, let us look at the situation. There is that which appears to be, like we knew in my traditional background, a religious ritual which we do simply because that's always the way we have done it. There is no inspiration to seek after God or to draw nigh unto God. It's just now is the day that we normally do it, and therefore we skip the meal and have a fast for that particular day, and then we put it aside again for 6 months, and we do it very ritualistic, you know, and we would never think probably of ignoring it and not doing it, and that's what appears to be the case here with Israel. It says, they seek me daily, in delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They were still keeping the ritualistic ordinances of the law and in its regularity. We have this example also in the New Testament when the Pharisees said, I fast twice a week. And yet he went to his house condemned, not justified. He was not set free. He was a religious legalist there who was simply boasting that he was fasting twice a week, which I understand was Tuesday and Friday. And I'm not against that practice. I think it may be a good way to control obesity or many different things in life. I believe it's healthy for the body to fast, but we want to look here this morning at God's chosen fast. It says, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take light in approaching the God. Imagine, here Israel was in this condition. It took a delight in approaching the God. They didn't even act like it was a heavy burden, like I knew in some of my background. Well, okay, it's tomorrow's fast day, and we need a fast, and it was done kind of in a heavy attitude. But it says here they even delighted in it. And Isaiah 1, chapter verse 10, it mentions a little bit on the general condition of Israel at the time that Isaiah was writing this. In chapter 1, verse 10, it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now, in Isaiah's time, Sodom and Gomorrah were long gone. But the spiritual apostasy of Israel was at such a degree that he chided them as Sodom and Gomorrah. He kind of referred to them as, okay, you rulers of Sodom. I mean, this place is a pit. You're living like you did in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jeremiah describes that much in his book, and how bad adultery and fornication and all kinds of immorality and licentiousness was going on in the church. And here it seems like he gives a rebuke like that also. To what purpose? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of the lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even to the solemn meeting. God is trying to say, I'm sick of the ordinances. Yet, and that's what I assume was a situation in Isaiah 58. They were still going through the ordinances. They were still keeping the feast days, the fast days, and all these things according to the law of God. But God was so sick of it that he said, I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want any of it. Forget it. It's a total sham. It's a mistake. I have to think of prayer in light of the apostasy of the American church today and how they pray. But their lives are in rebellion against the God that made them and against the Word of God that they even have in their hands when they pray in front of the people. And I can imagine God saying the same thing. I'm sick of their prayers. God's chosen fast. Religious routines, yet God wouldn't hear. It was a pleasure-filled day. We have that here. And even they were noticing that God was not answering from heaven. We have this in verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, now take us no knowledge? God, you don't even care. We have fasted all day, and we have given and afflicted our souls, and there's nothing happening, nothing is changing. You know, toward the end of Israel's reign, before the captivity in Babylon, which Isaiah was writing, some of it was written, I believe, after in captivity, but you know, famines were coming, and the enemies were coming in and destroying them, you know, and they had the victory time after time, and everything seems to be going wrong. They had pestilence, they had grasshoppers, they had locusts, they had what have you, that would come across the land and ravage the land, and there wasn't enough of food to eat and all that. And so they said, we have fasted, but it's not doing any good. We're not getting any results. We're not hearing. God isn't even hearing. And brethren, when those things take place, we are in serious trouble. When we come before God with all these things, and yet there is nothing happening. There is no answer. He goes on to say in verse 4, behold, ye fast for strife and debate. Why, in fact, in verse 3, I didn't finish there. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. And God sent Isaiah, the prophet, to tell Israel, you just go to work like any other day. You don't even have any time for me. You don't sit before me. You don't seek after the face of God as to what is going wrong. You just act like nothing has happened at all. You exact all your labors. It's not good. At any time, I believe, to work a 60-hour week when you're fasting. It's fine to do some light chores and light duties and things like that, but when we fast, I believe it should be specifically to take time to read the Word of God and to pray and seek God's face and talk to God about it. Those are some of the things that we can do when we're fasting. But not to exact all our labors, not to have a hard day's work and act like, that the fast doesn't mean anything. And then in verse 4, he says, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. I can imagine that they fasted for war, or they fasted maybe to get a piece of ground. You have that today, you know, people see a beautiful house and they'd like to buy the house, and so they fast in order to get the house. And the whole thing is based upon selfishness, maybe, or upon our own desires. And God looked at this thing and he said, something is off. Something is wrong here. And he began to teach what this fast is. Now he says in verse 4 there, ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. I don't want you to have a selfish fast and then because you want to start a new business, maybe I think it's right, that we lay our plans before the Lord and see what God's will is, but we have to be very careful that we don't fast for personal and special reasons, which are for selfish reasons. And then in verse 5 he says, is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? And here he's explaining what the Jews were doing over in the book of Matthew when they afflicted their soul, when they bowed their head in a certain way, when they sat in sackcloth and ashes as to appear unto men to fast. Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? And then in verse 6 he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. And that is just speaks to me again so beautifully as I look at that. In Israel's day, they would have had slaves. And the only way I can relate this is some very religious men in the South, maybe during slavery, that it was cotton picking time and they had all their cotton out there ready to be picked and it was time to have a day of fasting or a day of seeking the face of God to the very religious ones, but they'd have all their slaves out at work and they would oppress them and make them work hard while they perhaps would take a day off and a day of seeking the Lord, or a day of fellowship, or a day of church services, and have the slaves continue picking cotton. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? God is saying here, first of all, to loose the bands of wickedness. That is there anything in our lives that is not right, and is a wicked thing, and is sinful and wrong? Loose the bands of that. The habits, the evil and bad habits that we might neglect in our lives, is it not to loose them? Is it not to undo the heavy burdens where you see someone, especially another person in your life, that would have a heavy burden and to go over and help them and to make their burden easier and lighter? Isn't that the fast that I've chosen? And then he says to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke, every sin. And that is the fast that God has chosen. Now, I would just like to say how this came to me. You know, I realize we have experienced some difficulties and trials in the church here in the past here, but especially looking back over the last 3 weeks. I can see that a test has come our way, you know, as a church. I can just imagine if I would, like it was in Job's day, like Satan would said, you know, even though the billows were rolling and difficulty was come our way, that Satan would have said, here, let me throw him a major trial, a major test here and see what they make. This will probably finish them off. And it had the exact opposite when the church united in that crisis and the church came forth with all kinds of unified efforts to relieve the oppressed and to break every yoke and supply the needs and to minister to the needs of those that were hurting, and individuals laid aside their work and undid the heavy burdens and all of the things. I look at the money that came in to pay some of the bills and groceries came in upon the table and were put into the freezer and a van was repaired from one end to the other, and all of the different things that I was able to observe. And about the middle of this time, you know, I got the flu and was not able to be personally involved as much because of the contagion of it all. And yet to see what happened and just how the church responded, and I have to say it was second to none in my experiences for someone that would raise a group of people that would rise up to the challenge and test that was put upon them and respond in the way that was responded. Wood was chopped. A van showed up to drive in temporary, you know, and all of those things. Countless hours of counseling and various other legal work was taking place and those things. And I had to think later on, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Isn't this what God wants? Do we want to be like a bunch of monks and get to rent a cabin in the woods and spend 2 or 3 days fasting and not eating and drinking perhaps and reading our Bibles? And some of that is also good, and I'm not knocking that, but I believe that God's chosen fast is to see a need and to see a challenge and to see someone hurting and someone oppressed and somebody's hungry and somebody's naked, and you sit down and sew some clothing for them and you drop them off. Well, I had to think of this. What a blessing it is. And I know families have done this already. They have proclaimed the day of fast. And instead of eating the evening meal like they normally do, they said, we're fasting, but we're going to make a meal for somebody else. And they just baked a loaf of bread, and they put out the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables and everything and put a complete meal together. And the family was excited and then delivered it to someone in need, someone oppressed, someone poor, and delivered it to them and maybe went home and ate a bowl of soup or went to bed without anything and had a fast. And the children were so excited because they were able to minister. They were able to give. They were able to serve. They were able to relieve the oppressed and be a blessing to somebody else. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Many times our fasting can be so selfish. We're interested in a purchase. We're interested in advancing our business. We're interested in buying a house. We're interested in maybe some other selfish reason in life. And God is saying, I'd actually have something much better for you if you'd only see it. Not that we should not fast concerning some of our major decisions, but is it right for us to examine ourselves by the Word of God, whether they are for selfish reasons or whether they are for the cause of Christ, for the cause of relieving someone who is suffering, who is in need, who is oppressed, who is naked, who is hungry. Amen. I remember the day well when I got to Haiti. I'm not sure it was my first or second trip. And Brother Les Reinford wanted specifically for me to go up to the school at lunchtime. And I agreed to do that, and we walked up the hill there at eye leg to the school, and there must have been 250 or so children there. And as you know, the practice there is to give them a bowl of rice with some bean sauce on top. And Brother Les explained to me, and I saw these children all in a line with their spoons and so orderly, and they were dishing out this rice and giving each one a bowl of rice. And Brother Les explained to me that that's probably the only meal that they're going to have today is that bowl of rice that they got at school, because there's no food in the house, no food in the home. And I remember how those children ate every bit of it. They didn't throw anything away. They didn't spill anything. They carefully sat down with that bowl of rice with that little bit of bean sauce on top. And they sat down and ate every bit of it. And God did something in my heart that day that I've never forgotten. I've just never forgotten. It touched me so deeply. I have had food all my life. There's never been any scarcity from the day I was born until this day that I can remember ever. And we don't know what those things are like. And God touched my heart. And I was able later on to assist in preparing a gas cooker in order to boil the rice or cook the rice more efficiently for them. And I remember, after having seen the scene of how it is used, what a blessing that was to have a little part in preparing something, or perhaps the church down there helped buy the rice or different things so the school children could have that one meal a day. You know, it's right to have a priority of the gospel. It's right, and I believe in it with all my heart. I'm not interested in transferring the gospel into a social program. But the Bible teaches us in 1 John that if we see our brother have need and shut up the bowels of our compassion against them, how dwelleth the love of God in them? And for me, I've always felt much clearer with the gospel being preached and ministering to the needs around you when you see the starvation going on and the red hair in the black children down there or something like that, when you know and have the witness that they're suffering from malnutrition, and to be able to do some of both. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? God says. To deal your bread to the hungry. Isn't it when you see somebody that's naked and doesn't have any clothes to sew some clothing or to buy some clothing, maybe, it's so easy to come by used clothing, good used clothing in our time, and to deliver them to that child or deliver them to those parents and so that they're able to have clothes for their children. Isn't this the fast that I have chosen? And I believe somewhere in all of this there is a giving. It is a lack of selfishness. There is a self-denial that is taking place. There is somehow something in which is spent and given out of the home, out of the father and mother. Even the children sometimes do it with their penny banks. And a lesson is indelibly written on the heart. But in the experience we had here in the last 3 weeks, I have to say, that is the church of Jesus Christ that can do those things and respond to those needs that come into our midst. And they're not pleasant, and we wish we wouldn't have them, and we don't look for those kind of troubles and those kind of tribulations. But when they're sprung upon us and we respond with the resources that we have in our own houses, in our own pockets, in our own banks, in our own garages, in our own pantries, it is the will of God. And that is what the Church of Jesus Christ should be all about. Let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. Have you relieved a true oppression from somebody's life? Have you seen them yoked to debt? Have you seen them yoked to sin? Have you seen them yoked to an unequal yoke of some kind, and you have helped them to overcome that and to break that yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? I had the experience years ago of getting a knock on the door in the middle of the night in a snowstorm when a car had broke down outside of my house, and we were able to assist them and bring them in and warm them up, and I think I ended up giving them my car while I took their car to the garage the next day and got it fixed. And then a week later, they come back and exchanged it back again. And we made friends with those people, deep friends, through that experience. And somehow, there's a satisfaction in the heart with those kind of experiences that nothing else does it. And it's just so easy what happens. We have our focus on how to be spiritual and how to withdraw from everybody and how to seek a fast like that in order to find the will of God. And yet somehow when all these needs are scattered around us and we yield ourselves to fill those needs, that this is the fast that God has chosen in such a way that we find our spiritual need being met. When we yield to God in that way. Then he also says that thou hide thyself, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. I'm not sure if I know exactly what he means there, according to some of the concordances there. I think I checked in Strong's and also numerous commentators, and some refer it to your kindred or your own children. And I noticed that have been a tendency among people that they neglect some of the needs of their own family, their own children, and perhaps maybe you want to do something else. But then in verse 8 he says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Look at the promises of God when we avail ourselves for God's chosen fast in our time, in our day. And I speak this message as an encouragement to the church, not as a rebuke, because I say, you surprised me, or I was overwhelmed with the witness of some of these things before my very eyes in the recent weeks. And I'm here to say that that is the way I believe God wants it to be. I was totally amazed. Totally amazed as this thing played itself out over the weeks. And last week, one morning, my phone rang. And it was a man I've known for a number of years in another church that is what we would consider very peripheral, not one that we have started or have had oversight. And the man said, I need help. And he laid out a similar situation that they had in their home, or in their church, or in their situation, in their family, that we had just gone through. And he said, somehow, it seems nobody knows what to do. We need help. Can you help us? Later on, as soon as I hung up, within 3 or 4 minutes, I got another phone call from the West. And a man was on the line, and he said, there's some fella in our midst here. We're having pretty good fellowship. We're sitting down and talking, but I think I need to check this fellow out. Do you know of him? And he gave me his name. He said, the man confessed that I'd probably be considered a wolf in the charity circles. He was honest with him, who he was, and that he had some bad experiences in our minds. And of course, I didn't know of the situation well, and had to give him the warning not to let him stay there, but to help him to move on rather quickly or rather promptly. And I believe that is what God wants, that we find ourselves to be vessels meet for the master's use, that God can use us, and we may be the most unpleasant situations, maybe the most embarrassing situations at times, maybe the most difficult situations. But I believe this is the fast that God has chosen. And if we can be a group of people that can minister to them and reach out to those kind of situations, may this be the fast and the prayer that God has chosen for us as a family, church family. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. There are a myriad of bondages in this life. There are financial bondages, there are sinful bondages, there are just many things that bind men, evil habits. And what a joy and what a desire it is for God to break every yoke. I keep telling people over and over again, there is no freedom so high, there is no freedom so grand as the freedom in Christ Jesus, as freedom from sin. It is the greatest freedom known in the world. And when we look at it in the book of Galatians, we realize that till he gets done in those 5 chapters, he's trying to break the bondage of the law. He's trying to break the bondage of the flesh. And I would like to add, we need to give up popular opinion. We need to give up the flesh. We need to give up the law. We need to give up whatever that God lays his finger on in our life, that we can yield to him in order to experience the freedom and liberty that comes alone from God. Matthew 6:16 that I quoted before shows us that when we fast, we should anoint our face. not appear unto men to fast, try to do it secretly, and that nobody knows, so that the fast is truly for God and for our spiritual and human betterment, and not for to be seen of men, so that somehow they honor us for a religious ritual that we're regularly doing. But go back to our text there and just read some of the other great promises of God in closing here. Verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. I take that to point fingers at others there, putting forth the finger, which is something that can so easily happen in religious circles. And he's saying, take all that away. And he says in verse 10, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry. And it shows that as we give of ourselves, that there's a literal drawing out of ourselves and drawing out of our resources and giving to those that are in need at times in our midst. And then he says, and satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall the light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Isn't that what we want in our life? That those dark corners in our life, that God's light shines upon them brightly, and they become like the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. Listen to these promises, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. I realize this is an Old Testament where you have the curses and the blessings that are written in Deuteronomy 28 that are given to Israel. But there are so many applications that are so similar for us in our Christian life, that if we sacrifice, if we yield ourselves, if we give up our pleasures, if we undo the heavy burdens and try to reach out to other people, God's blessing will come upon us in ways we have never dreamt, we have never known. And in the New Testament, there is definitely a very, very similar applicable scriptures that also speak in a very similar way. Verse 12, and they shall be of thee, and they that shall be of thee, I believe would be our children or grandchildren, shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the past to dwell in. And that's my heart today, that we can be the repairer of the breach and the restorer of past to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. I believe they were defiling the Sabbath a lot in those days, from what I understand, if you read the prophets and before the dispersion into Babylon, the Sabbath was defiled and people were doing their own pleasure and were breaking the laws of the Sabbath that was given to them at Sinai, to only go a Sabbath day's journey and to keep the day holy unto the Lord. And I know we're not keeping the Sabbath. We're not under that law. But I do believe that it is a blessing and a benefit to lay aside our heavy labors on the Lord's day and to honor the Lord and to visit one another and encourage one another and gather together for common edification. I believe that is the will of God. And when a people put that aside, it does not go well with them. Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And there again, he's just simply speaking of sacrificial living, sacrificial giving, not seeking our own pleasure, not seeking our own benefit, but simply seeking to benefit someone, letting the oppressed go free, breaking a yoke for someone else, lightening somebody else's burden that may be oppressed, that may be beat down, or may be hungry or thirsty or naked. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. May God add his blessing to the message. May we be encouraged as a church to continue to be there for one another if more trials are thrown our way.
My, what a meal we have gotten this morning. What more can I say? Except what God has already spoken to us this morning. May we not take these things lightly, brethren. May we look to them as a call from the Lord. A gathering together. Just an encouragement and a challenge today. God's chosen fast, waiting on the Lord, seeking God's treasures that are hidden. My. Well, I would like to open it up this morning for a word of testimony. If anyone has a word of testimony, maybe the Lord's spoken to you regarding the message. If you would just raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you. And I'd like to just challenge all of us this afternoon as we go to our places or maybe to a time of fellowship. May we ponder the words that have been shared today in the opening, in the message, even in the children's lesson. That we take these things seriously. Anyone with a testimony, raise a hand. If you do, we'll get a microphone to you and you can share what God is laying on your heart. In the back there.
Well, I'd like to bring greetings of love and thanksgiving to the church here from West Virginia. We're glad to be here. I think this is officially our first time since we moved to be back, so we're glad to be here visiting. I was thinking as Brother Mose was preaching here how the brethren that came down recently and helped us, we're experiencing a 4-day fast or a 3-day fast of work, and how few of them could really afford that. And we received that with much thanksgiving, and it was very much a blessing, and we were very encouraged. And then the principle here is, shall thy light break forth as the morning? And I just wanted to share with the church how many comments that we got from the neighbors. There was a light that shined in those days, and that was a time, unquestionably, that was a time of fasting. It was undoing heavy burdens, dealing bread to the hungry, and the word of God still works. It shined forth as a light to the people, and the neighbors did notice it. It was an evangelical work day, I think, that the neighbors did notice. Even the weather, the Lord shined upon us in the weather there, and it was something supernatural. They've never seen something like that, that every single day was so perfect for that work. And so we just want to glorify the Lord and you know, hold up the Word of God and say that, yes, indeed, it does still work. It does still hold true. And we're very, very grateful and very humbled to receive all that fasting by the different brethren. We want to give thanks for that. And,
amen.
Bless the church and pray and hope and delight in the going on to serve the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Amen. Anyone else? Word of testimony. Right here in the front. Brother David.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm finding in my heart this morning in response to the messages, it is true that I think selfishness lurks deep in our hearts, and I find that in mine too. And in Jonah's message, you know, about waiting on the Lord, I'm, of course, thinking of the situations that we're in right now and the difficulties and what does waiting on the Lord mean. But I think, Mose, your message there helped me a lot. Sometimes I can wait on the Lord because I want the Lord to do what I want to get done. I can exercise myself to manipulate things so that God will do things the way I want. And I just see this morning that God's work is to cast off the desires of oneself and to look upon the needs and the desires of others. And I sense my need there and desire for God to do more of a work in that area of my life.
Amen. Anyone else?
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.